All right, this episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. Going to run a solo pod here today. No Adam Armbrecht. That's all right. Going to jump in here after the Timberwolves game. Total blowout in terms of what the Nets brought into many when they ended up playing the afternoon game against the Timberwolves. Going to talk about why I think it was very easy for the Nets to pull off this win, why the culture building that they've done over the course of the season is sometimes what pays off, even when you get the role players coming in, what it means to play championship level basketball, even when the team that you run out into the court isn't necessarily going to be the one that wins the championship. It's all important. Break down some of the game action and look at some of the final lines from some of these guys, because there's some interesting ones out there. Going to talk about it all, but first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. I'm Doug Norrie, owner and operator of DFSR.com. Got you covered for all of your DFS needs, FanDuel and DraftKings, NBA. Got MLB rolling over there as well, hockey every single night. So go on over to DFSR.com, talk to us in our chat room. I'm there most evenings. And on this podcast, flying solo. No Adam Armbrecht today. He had some other stuff that he had scheduled. So we are going to roll through the podcast solo style. I had a couple of these in there over the short term, just kind of that's some scheduling conflicts. And as we're in the dog days of the season, ramping up, maybe we're starting to get our rest days in before before the playoffs start, kind of like what the Nets are doing here. But on Tuesday, the NBA world got thrown a little bit of a scheduling issue, obviously, around the events that happened in Minnesota. We talked about this on the podcast yesterday. Not going to go back into that piece of it. But we had the Nets have the game against the Timberwolves postponed on Monday. And then there was a little bit of a question about what was going to happen in terms of how they were going to replay it, because as you can see with this compressed schedule that they have, which is becoming more and more of an issue basically every single day, with just how many games have been piled in here, how many back-to-backs there have been over the course of the season, the travel days, all the stuff is starting to rear its ugly head a little bit here in the season. And that was maybe threatening to be the case with the Nets also against the Timberwolves, because they were still in Minnesota, and having been not played on Monday, it was a little unclear what the plan was going to be, especially knowing that the Nets had to go to Philly on Wednesday. So that part was already on the schedule. There weren't going to be any other days to really fit this game in. And then if you don't fit it in now, like we've seen with the schedule's completely unforgiving when it comes to when games can be played. They already seem to not have enough time to get all the games in, and now you have a postponed game on the schedule. So there was questions about what was going to happen, and ultimately they decide to play it on Tuesday afternoon. So we do end up getting a Tuesday afternoon game. I actually wonder how much in Nets Nation got to actually watch the game on Tuesday. I watched it while doing some other stuff, not in the typical normal time for watching a game, but was able to have it on, and just because of the work schedule, was able to tune in. But I was wondering during the game, listening to Ruko, listening to Sarah Kustak on the call, how many people were actually going to be able to watch, because for a lot of people that is in a typical normal work day. Now, maybe for some people you thought, oh, this is great because I get to actually watch a game. Maybe you're a night worker, or your schedule doesn't, or maybe fit into your workday and you're able to have it on in the background in a way that maybe you couldn't when it's a little harder when you're at home with the kids or whatnot. So I know everyone's schedule is a little different, but the Nets play the game 3:30 Eastern on a Tuesday, get a little afternoon basketball action. And this game was over by about 3:40 Eastern or something like that. I'm tongue in cheek a little bit there, but it didn't take long for the Nets to just run all over this Timberwolves team. So I buried the lead a little bit with the way that the game ended up just being how it ended up going out from a schedule point of view. But after that, it was all Nets. The final score is 127-197. It was actually hard to stay engaged in the game after a while as a fan, simply because the Nets were just crushing the Timberwolves. No other way to put it. It started off besides the fact that it was a 3:30 afternoon game, that in and of itself it's rare. It was also a little bit exhibition style feel to it also, simply because of the players who didn't play in the game. So for the Minnesota Timberwolves, we already knew Karl-Anthony Towns was going to miss the game. He had been ruled out for personal reasons. Unsure if that was going to carry over into the Tuesday game. It did, so he didn't play. And then Kyrie, we knew that he was going to sit out the game because he had also had some personal reasons. So we knew, or the idea was that he was not going to play. I don't even believe he made the trip. So he wasn't going to play. And we know James Harden's hurt. So all of a sudden, you look at the starting lineups and you realize three of the four best players between both teams aren't even playing in the game. And so that's when I say this had something like an exhibition style feel to it. It kind of did. Because then you look at the Nets starting lineup and it's Kevin Durant. Okay, great news. We have him, superstar. Good to have him back in the fold, ramping up his minutes, the whole thing. But then you have, Joe Harris. Okay, another starter. Great. We got two starters in there for the Nets. Jeff Green, he's moved in and out of the starting lineup. He's gotten some spot starts here and there, sort of depending on where they are health-wise with Green. I'll call him a starter nominally. And then you get Chris Chioza and Nick Claxton who get the start, because I failed to mention that LaMarcus Aldridge missed this game also. So the Nets, who are already really thin on guards, we already know this, like Kyrie's out, Tyler Johnson's out. They have Shamet. We'll get to his game here briefly. And obviously James Harden is out. That's leaving them really short in the guards. And then LMA is not there. But they give Claxton the start. But that starting lineup, one, it's not a starting lineup we've seen before for the Nets at all. I believe it was Claxton's first start as a Net. And it just has this feel of, it's an afternoon game. New starting lineup. Some guys that don't really find themselves in these spots all that often. And you kind of get the sense it's like, it's not bubble style Nets, but it's butting up against bubble Nets, because just in the overall feel of it. Again, didn't really end up mattering because we get a completely lights out game from Kevin Durant. You get big contributions from some of these other guys that we'll get into shortly. You have a total just energy mismatch, I would say, between these two teams in terms of who kind of came ready to play with a group of non-starters and maybe some role players or end the bench guys, and another team that also had some non-starters, maybe some end the bench guys in there. One superstar between the two teams and Kevin Durant, but just a complete and utter just energy difference between these two squads. And I have some theories around this, and I was thinking about this as I watched the game in terms of why it was that one team, the Nets, looked so much better than the Timberwolves, even though when you really get down to it, the talent levels between the two teams, outside of Kevin Durant, I think we could probably say the talent levels weren't that disparate. Again, Chris Chioza got the start here. Nick Claxton, I love the guy, especially defensively. He gets the start here. Joe Harris, great player, fine. But if you kind of like look at pound for pound what you would think to be talent between these two teams after Kevin Durant, I don't know, they're not this dissimilar, right? I mean, should it have been a 30-point win for the Nets? It says as much about the Timberwolves as I think it does the Nets here in terms of sort of what ends up happening in the game based on who played it. But it had that exhibition feel, had that sort of style to it. I think the energy, one team came to play, one didn't. And I think that's sort of a way you go. I mentioned the Kevin Durant game. He ends up playing 27 minutes, 31 points, looked like he was just completely, they're like, he had never missed any time, looking like he was, you getting the offense going, wants to shoot every single time he gets the ball, look like he can't miss, exuding all the joy, all the happiness, just the enjoyment of basketball. And that's really what you're looking for when you're looking for the Ultra Player of the Week. This one was easy, folks. Ultra Player of the Week, Kevin Durant, drops 31 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds on the Timberwolves, leads the Nets to victory. Everything you want to see out of the superstar. Like I said, feels like he hasn't missed any time at all. Really easy vote for Michelob Ultra Player of the Week with this one. Kevin Durant had his name written all over it, basically, from the tip. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. Joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. Michelob Ultra, are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? All right, so we get this game, and like I said from the beginning, this game was really never close. There was such a difference in intensity. There was such a difference in overall firepower. Just a complete difference in really just the two teams. And you could make the case that this comes from, you know, just in terms of who the Nets have compared to who the Timberwolves have. Like I said before, I'm not sure the differences are as stark as it might seem. Definitely not from a 30-point difference. We'll start with Kevin Durant. Mentioned him, Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. He goes 11 for 15 from the field. Looked completely unstoppable. The Timberwolves really had nothing defensively that they could really throw at him at all. And Sarah Kustak mentioned it on the broadcast in terms of there was even times where he had longer defenders on him that were basically up in his grill, and he's still able to rise over them. So in terms of overall talent, it's clear Kevin Durant, easily the best player in this game, one of the top, you know, when he's playing really well, one of the top three or four best players in all of basketball. I know we haven't seen too much of him this year just because he's been sitting out so much, but so it's a little bit easier to forget in terms of how good he is. So it's clear that the Nets have the best player, but then after that, you say to yourself, well, what is the difference here? What is the thing that makes these two teams appear so different when they actually step on the court together? And I think it starts with Kevin Durant, clearly. Clearly he's the best player, so it starts with him. But I think that the sort of trickling down or the cascading effect is really evident too in terms of the overall confidence that you see with one team playing with a superstar by their side and another team that looked sort of just rudderless. And I think that ends up being, interestingly enough, a story of the game as well. Because again, you get the Nets who start Chris Chioza. Chris Chioza is one of the very end of the bench. I know he only played 14 minutes, but he's essentially one of the very end of the bench guards for the Nets at this point, right? So he's nowhere, anywhere close to their rotation. I get that he's a fun player. Get him out in transition. He's got some speed. He's got great vision. Overall, he's just undersized, and he's going to see no playoff minutes for the Nets. But you get him. You get Claxton, who they put into a different role. And the team looks so competent, really, in the entire flow of the offense, to the point where I think you see this cascading effect when a team has played with really good players from the start of the year, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, has a confidence level that far exceeds probably, like, they're playing so far above their heads. They're punching above their weight even with this team, because I think they've seen people have talked about the Nets culture for a long time now. The culture, another piece of the culture here is just understanding what it's like to play winning basketball. And you don't need to have been a guy that's played a lot of minutes for the team this year to understand that when you're playing for the Nets at this point, it's sort of just understood that you're going to play winning basketball. And that's like the idea that I got this whole game. Watching this whole game, I'm thinking, wow, look at these guys, look at the ball movement, look at the spacing, look at everyone understanding sort of where they're supposed to be. That is not something that just happens overnight. Some of it is a byproduct of coaching, for sure, but another piece of it is a byproduct of just what it means to have been playing at a high level of basketball all season long, And then when it's next man up kind of stuff, like Chioza, we saw this from Bruce Brown, Landry Shamet, we'll get to his line here in a second. These guys who are role players and probably nothing more, they end up, the basketball from them looks so crisp and fluid because they've been around it the rest of the time. It's as you think into your life, when you think about times where you've been around other groups of people that do something really well, right? When it's maybe not intimidating, but you get the sense that, okay, this is a group of people that's doing something really well. And all of a sudden, how easy it is for you to kind of pick up and do those things also. Because you understand, you see what it means to do the correct thing on a night-to-night basis. You see where players are supposed to stand. You see where you're supposed to move within an offense. You see your teammates doing those things. And I think that's what was happening here, just on almost possession by possession basis for the Nets. The spacing was awesome. The shots were easy. There was the ball got kind of rolling downhill early. I think that also helps in terms of just playing loose basketball, I mean loose as a good thing, where you're playing without much trepidation, you're playing without too many nerves. You see sort of the writing on the wall early that the team is going to win, and therefore you can kind of play the best version of yourself. And I think that's what we saw here with this team, and that's just the kind of thing that I just kept thinking about over and over as the game went on, when these baskets kept coming easy, when it didn't matter what the five-man rotations were, that the spacing was just going to be there. It was a combination of the spacing is there, we understand we're supposed to be on the court. It's the expectation now is that you're playing basketball at a very high level with other superstars, even when they're not even playing tonight necessarily. But the expectation is there's a superstar expectation on this team. There's an expectation that we're going to play championship level basketball. And even if I'm not the player, Chris Chioza, Bruce Brown, we'll see where he ends up landing. Jeff Green, he'll probably have playoff rotation minutes. We get some DJ minutes in there. Landry Shamet, Blake Griffin, these guys that ended up playing a decent amount. Even if I'm not going to be the player that probably swings the championship for the Nets when it comes down to actual playoff basketball, the understanding is that when I'm on the court with these guys, I'm going to sort of will myself to play at the same level. And that's, again, that's just what I kind of kept seeing in this game, and why things look so crisp, even if they're players that hadn't gotten a ton of run this season at times. And so, yeah, I just think that was, it's just a cool feeling. It's a cool idea to know that there is, I think, again, I use the word trickle down. I know that's been in times, if you talk about economics, it's not necessarily always looked at as to be the best idea with economics, but where something is happening at the top and then it's kind of spreading to everybody else in a positive way. I think that is the case that we're getting with the Nets. And that's why you end up seeing, look, they should end up shooting 42% from three. A lot of these threes were very easy looks, very easy looks. Like very few contests. Most of it was born out of really good ball movement around the perimeter or inside out basketball where they have someone rolling on a short roll and then as things open up into the corners or maybe a little bit above the break. Very few of these were of the, Kyrie taking someone off the dribble three-pointer. This was good, easy looks that were byproducts of good ball movement. I think that was one piece of it, and I think that stems from a lot of confidence in the team. And another piece of it was the energy level was so high compared to what we saw from the Timberwolves, that the Nets on the defensive end were just getting after it so much. They ended up with 8 steals overall in the game. I get the Timberwolves forced more turnovers. It didn't end up mattering because sort of some of those end up coming late too. But the Nets were able to get out in transition a lot. This comes from the defensive energy. Get out in transition, create some cross-match situations, and make easy baskets on that end of things as well. So I think between those two things, between the defensive energy that I think was much higher than the Timberwolves, and then this idea behind what it means to play championship level basketball, we end up getting this. This is why the game ends up being a 30-point difference when it's all said and done, and not for nothing. This seemed a lot more than 30 points. 30 points feels like I'm on the low end, sort of like what the expectation could have been. I think they were up 42 at one point, at 116 to 74 at one point in this game. So this game was really never in doubt and really actually looked even worse than the final score ended up looking. So I guess I know that I'm not going too much into the numbers on this part here, and I'm more talking about the overall idea about like sort of how this can happen for a team, but I really believe this. I really believe after watching this game that it was this sense of this is how you play basketball. It doesn't matter that we're not the guys that are always the one doing it, because we've seen how it goes when the superstars are out there, and we can play our own level of that within our own selves, and we can create easy baskets for ourselves. We know where we're supposed to be. We know where, you know, when the ball starts moving around the perimeter, we know, you know, where you're supposed to flash, where you're supposed to go, who's going to get into the open lane, how we get leakouts. They had a ton of leakouts in this game. How we get things in the transition. This is just the style of basketball we're going to play. And though we're not the guys that typically do it, we're going to be the ones that step up. And ultimately, we're going to play that sort of same high level, even if our superstars aren't there. All right, we're going to get into some of these individual performances in a second here. First, going to talk to you about Built Bar. Don't know if you haven't been into a Built Bar at this point, you haven't been listening to the show. I don't really know what else to tell you. We've been talking about Built Bar for what seems like forever now because it's a super easy product to talk about. Very best protein bar on the market. Got done with Built Bar Madness. That's where they stacked up all of the flavors of Built Bar just to determine which one the best one was. That's something you can do when you just have what feels like infinity good flavors around something that really feels like it should be a dessert, but it's actually good for you. Protein bar, it's 100% covered in chocolate, super soft and easy to chew, but just 180 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, 19 grams of protein, which doesn't make sense when you hear the flavors like coconut almond, peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie. They sound like ice cream flavors, folks. It's the flavors of Built Bar, the very best protein bar on the market. Right now, if you go to builtbar.com, you're going to need to type in the promo code LOCKED15 because that's going to get you 15% off your next order. But you have to go to builtbar.com and you have to type in the promo code LOCKED, just like our podcast network, LOCKED, LOCKED15, and you're going to get 15% off at builtbar.com. Built Bar, the very best protein bar out there. Also, got to talk to you about our friends over at Bet Online. Right now, the action is just every single night with sports. You have NBA. Some of these NBA games are all over the place, too. I mean, we just talked about the Nets just won this game by 30. Baseball in full swing, NHL on the ice. Bet Online has you covered as the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. It's really just a one-stop shop for all your scores, odds, props, anything you can imagine. You can find it there on Bet Online. We use Bet Online, so we just know that it's easy to tell you you should use Bet Online too. It's totally free to sign up, but if you sign up and then you want to make a deposit, if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, just like our podcast network, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So go to betonline.ag. We make that first deposit, and then you use the promo code LOCKEDON for 50% welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, quick reminder that tonight, after the Philadelphia game, Adam and I are going to be jumping into Locker Room after the game, going to be talking about the Philly game, but we'll be over there in Locker Room. Jump in there last time, had a bunch of folks in after the game. We rolled through, we did a breakdown of the game. That's what we'll do again tomorrow. And then afterwards, you jump in there, you make your voice heard. It's an easy way to jump in with Adam and I, Locker Room. So make sure you download the Locker Room app. We'll be on Locker Room following the Philly game. Should be a really, really good time. All right, so this ends up being that Philly game is going to be a back-to-back because of this game against the T-Wolves. A little bit different because they end up with such a blowout and the game is early. So it was almost more like half a game for some of these guys. KD ends up only running 27 minutes. It's unclear if he's going to play the back-to-back here. You got the sense that the 27 minutes, that was them ramping up his minutes on the front end because they were probably not going to play him on the back second half of the back-to-back. We'll see. I don't think they came out with a note about that in the post game, although I'll check that before I get out of here. But my guess is that he's not going to play. It looks like Kyrie is probably trending toward probable in this game, so maybe we get a Kyrie return and KD sitting on the back-to-back. I don't think anyone else is at risk of sitting this this next game against Philly, which will be a tough one, just based on Philly's playing at a pretty high level right now. They are fully healthy. Embiid's going to cause some problems. It'll be interesting to see if they start DeAndre. Obviously, they'll have Aldridge back, it looks like, for this game against Philly. So will be interesting to see what they roll out in terms of starting lineup. Not going to speculate too much on that one right now. We'll end up covering just whatever they end up doing after the game against Philly. A couple other lines to look at from the Minnesota game that kind of stood out. Okay, so Claxton gets the start. I'll give my quick Claxton thoughts here. Still, the defense is at a very high level. A lot of energy there made it really impossible if they tried to get him into switches, which really didn't happen too much. It's a very clunky Timberwolves offense. I get that Edwards has a lot of athleticism. There's a lot of upside in his game. The offensive flow of that team was a total mess. I don't think it was that difficult on the defensive end for the Nets to really combat whatever it was that Minnesota was throwing at them, because it really wasn't much. I still think Claxton, in terms of the defensive stuff, you're not worried about it. In terms of the transition, he looked great a couple times. One leak out, one where he just put his head down and just kind of took it at, was it McDaniels? Or maybe it was Edwards in that case too, where he just took it in transition to the basket. It still looks a little clunky for him on offense. There was a few times where his reads were very slow in the post, where they had him coming on the roll, where it was very clear that he was either supposed to target the corner or pop it back out because they had brought help down in the block, and he just didn't do it very quickly. So I still think the Claxton piece is a work in progress here. I think that's to be expected. The defensive acumen is there. It's really built on a lot of the athleticism that he has, so that's a good thing. I don't think that offensive game is coming at times super fluidly for him, or it's not like a second nature kind of thing for him yet, especially just considering by contrast how fluid it is for a lot of these other guys. So I think that we got a little bit of a sense of that with Claxton in this game. Like I said, I think it's still very much a work in progress. I think his game will look a lot different when surrounded by all offensive guys. So if they end up deciding to use him as a defensive linchpin when the other three guys are there, I think that's going to be sort of a different situation. This game, where the offense doesn't have as many like primary ball handlers in it, and they kind of did rely on getting the ball to him in sort of some of those rolling situations, like I said, a little bit that was to be left to be desired there. Shamet has an awesome game off the bench. A little surprised that he didn't start, but then when you kind of see how they use them off the bench as that secondary ball handler, running the second team offense, just looking like, you know, not a ton of shot creation in general, but more than they basically had from almost anybody else, it made a little more sense why he wasn't starting. And then he just turned in an awesome game. Like, when he's really rolling from beyond the arc, he is a guy that can definitely be in the rotation in a playoff series. I think that's become very clear. The confidence level is very high for him right now. If he's going to be, you know, when I'm talking playoff series now, 11 minutes off the bench in a playoff series, you're going to be able to live with that. He plays 26 here against the Timberwolves. He can play a lot more minutes in these regular season games. But I think between what you get is not the defense is just kind of fine for him, and the offensive piece, where he can hit open shots and just do just enough off the dribble, I think that that's going to be a pretty important piece for some minutes when it comes to the playoffs. And it made sense, like I said, about why they ended up not starting him. So I think that those are the two, you know, performances that stood out, both from a positive and negative for me. Like I said, the only negative I thought was the clunkiness around some of the what I kind of want to see cleaned up for Claxton. Like I said, not too worried about that piece of it. Just because he's so young, it's easy to forget. The guy really hasn't played that many minutes. They really kind of tempered his minutes here, especially since Aldridge came around, and he just dealt with injuries for so long. One funny line from this game is that in a game they won by 30, Blake Griffin somehow played 24 minutes of not minus five basketball. That is really hard to do in a game where your team wins by 30. I don't really blame him for it. It wasn't like he was crushing it. I don't think it was a run bad kind of situation. It's mostly funny because I know we've taken these numbers and used them to dig on guys like TLC before. DJ has gotten the plus minus sort of burn at times. Although when he was running with the starters earlier in the season, his plus minus was awesome just because he got to share the court with all those guys. Just thought the minus five looked funny for him because, again, they just completely blew out the Timberwolves when it was all said and done. Overall, though, nice win. Obviously, the circumstances around the game aren't what you want on a game-to-game basis. It was really unfortunate that they weren't able to – the reason they weren't able to play on Monday. I'm glad they were able to get this game in. I'm glad that the Nets ended up winning this game, and not like it's one that they needed at all, but every win is a nice win when you're on this kind of championship run. Every little piece of buffer that you can get, every time you can get some minutes around guys who could – end up seeing some playoff minutes later on, it is good to just get on-court experience for some of these guys. Because again, not everybody is going to matter, but some of these guys are definitely going to matter. And it's just good kind of culture builder when you can see that other guys can slot in and you can take another professional NBA team, Timberwolves. I know the year has been brutal for them and they're without their best player, but still, this wasn't a group of total nobodies. We have a number one overall draft pick in there. You have Ricky Rubio in there. You have some other guys that they're trying to just kind of, you know, we've got D'Lo off the bench. He looked pretty decent in his time, you know, coming in for as like essentially their sixth man as he works his way back from injury. But you're still taking on a professional team, and you're taking it on with mostly your B team, and they're able to win the game. So overall, really happy with the performance. Nice way to bounce back from the Lakers loss over the weekend. A nice little stage setter for what's going to happen here against Philly on Wednesday. Overall, just a nice win for the Nets. All right, we will be back. We'll be on Locker Room following the game against Philly, so go and check that out. We'll throw the link up on Twitter, but if you're over in Locker Room and you follow Adam or I or Locked On Nets, you'll be able to get the alert when we start the Locker Room. Also, rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. Those numbers have been climbing. So if you've got new listeners out there, much appreciative over coming over and listening to us. We love it. Love to see the numbers climb. Love talking Nets basketball. You can help those numbers continue to tick up by rating and reviewing the podcast. We'll be back again after the Sixer game in Locker Room talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.